It is God's desire that as surely as the dawn breaks forth daily, so will the revelation of His goodness be evident daily in every area of your life. Welcome to Dawn Extras with Tim Grage.
All right, let's pray. Everlasting Father, as we get into your word now, let your counsel prevail for us. Help us, oh God, to see the areas we have been blinded. Shine your light that we may confront, we may address, that we may grow, that we may learn, that we may manifest that for which you have called us to be, the Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What is a cavity, all right? A cavity is defined as an empty space within a solid object, usually the human body. So that's a cavity. So it's basically a hole that is in a solid object, okay? So like cavities in our teeth, which is when we say cavities, that's what we're more familiar with, okay? So like cavities in our teeth, so cavities refer to spaces or gaps in our understanding, in our soul, that give the enemy a foothold in our lives. For those of you that listened to my Sunday morning message yesterday, you'd have heard this example. Job, for example, he had a soul cavity. Now, let me say this. The problem with cavities, right, until very often they begin to cause you problems, you generally do not even know they're there. We'll get to that. But for many of us, until the cavity begins to pose a problem for us, you don't even know that you have the cavities in your teeth. And that was the case of Job, because what you believe becomes your truth. It's not necessarily the truth, but it becomes your truth. So we hear people say things like, stand in your own truth. That's nonsense. We are supposed to stand in the truth. What gives us liberty is not your own truth, unless what you're calling your own truth is the truth. It is the truth. Because it is the truth, that is the person of Jesus, that actually sets us free. So Job had a soul cavity. He actually thought and believed that God was this being that was looking for sin to punish. And so every time his children would commit, would throw a party. He didn't know whether they sinned or not, but every time they will throw a party, Job will quickly go there, make sacrifices. And these were his words. Job said, peradventure they had offended God. Peradventure they had sinned. And this was how he conducted his life, so for himself and for his kids. Now, this wrong understanding of the character of God, the one who is always looking for sin to punish, gave the devil a foothold in his life. When you still believe, for example, that God is looking for your sin to punish, we'll look at a variety of cavities, right? But when you, for example, believe that God is looking as a believer, as a born-again believer, you believe that God is looking for sin in your life so that he can punish you, looking for sin in your life so that he can deny you, you are what the Bible refers to as sin conscious. The consequence of that is you have now put yourself in a position where you are saying, it is my holiness, it is my righteousness that preserves me from the attack of the devil. And the minute you do that, you open yourself up to the attack of the devil, because you have just said that both God and the devil can scan you to see how qualified you are for his blessings, how qualified you are for his protection. And if a scan is done on us, we will not qualify. This is why when we got born again, we were baptized into Christ, so that when a scan is done on us, it is Jesus that gets scanned, and so we perpetually remain qualified. Now, in the case of Job, he did not have this understanding, similar to the kind of understanding that Abraham had, because Abraham actually had a different understanding of God. Now, with this understanding, it gave the devil an opportunity to plague Job. This is why the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:27, the Amplified Version, it says, leave no room or foothold for the devil. He now says, give no opportunity to him. Cavities give opportunities to the devil to attack us, give opportunities to the devil to oppress us. So you will notice in the whole story of Job, in Job chapter 1 verse 12, because of this cavity in Job's soul, the Lord said to Satan, he said to him, behold, or see, all that Job has is in your power. Only upon himself put forth not thy hand. He said to the devil, all that Job has is already in your power. How come? It wasn't God that put all that Job had in the devil's power. Of course not. I don't have time to explain it. It was Job's cavity. And you will see a few other individuals with cavities. Now, let's push on. So, like cavities in our teeth, sometimes we discover those cavities by accident. Maybe you decided to go to the dentist just to have your teeth clean. And while the dentist is working on you, the dentist tells you, oh, you have a cavity here, you have a cavity there. And so sometimes we discover cavities by accident. Sometimes we discover cavities also when things get stuck in your teeth. So you're eating, things get stuck there, and they keep getting stuck there. So you realize, okay, looks like I have a hole in my teeth. But for many of us, the only time, even when things are getting stuck in our teeth, for many of us, myself inclusive, the only time we begin to deal with those cavities is when they begin to cause us a problem. How many of you will agree with me? Even if that's not your case, for a number of us, that's the case. It's when the hole begins to create a nuisance for you, begins to create a discomfort for many of us, that's when we usually decide, I am going to the dentist. And sadly, that is the same thing that tends to happen in the way we deal with soul cavities. For many of us, when we discover our soul cavities, because it's not yet creating a problem for us, because it has not yet given the devil a full foothold in our lives, many of us do not focus enough to deal with our soul cavities. I will share a few thoughts. So with that in mind, let's look at a soul cavity that presented itself in the life of Peter. Jesus was about to get to the cross. So he had finished the Passover. He calls his apostles together and he says to them, after they have finished the meal, he says to them, one of you will betray me. Hey, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Eventually he makes a statement. Judas puts his hand in the meal. Judas goes off. After Judas has left, Jesus then says to his disciples that all of you will scatter. Soon, all of you will scatter. Now, let's take that story from Matthew chapter 26. Go there with me. Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read verses 30. All right. Now, listen to this story. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So Jesus says, all of you will scatter soon. Peter answered, verse 33. This was Peter. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. So Peter said, not me. I don't know about these ones, but I will never be offended in you. Jesus then reveals to him a cavity in his soul. Listen, this is where it gets very important. Jesus, Peter is saying his beliefs. I will not run away. Jesus then reveals to Peter that I hear what you are saying, but there is a cavity in your soul. This thing you are saying, you have not really believed it yet. There is a hole in your soul. I hear you, but there is a hole in your soul, Peter. You have not fully believed what you are saying, even though you are saying it. So Jesus says to Peter, truly I say unto you that this night before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice. Peter screams. In the Mark 14's rendition of this story, he says, and Peter vehemently. So Peter passionately, vehemently begins to reply. He says, though I should die with you, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So Peter said, even if they kill me, I will die. I will willingly die. Saints, a number of us, we think we have believed something until the thing comes under test. And it's not God testing us. The Bible says, affliction arises for the word's sake. And it's not because you're a believer, you're facing a test. Everybody faces a test. Whether you're saved, you are unsaved, right? But the purpose of the test for the believer by the devil is very different from the reasons why he will test and why he will attack others. For us, the consequences of our stumbling is a lot more dire, but that's another story. So Jesus reveals to Peter, Peter, I hear what you are saying, but you have not fully believed this yet. He now takes Peter. Oh, this was the issue. Instead of Peter to say to him, how do I address this? How do I deal with this cavity? I know what I think I believe, but I hear what you are saying, and you are the truth. So you know what the true scenario is. How do I deal with this? Instead of Peter to say that, Peter kept on insisting there is nothing wrong with me. He discarded it. Jesus then takes Peter, James, and John to the Garden of Gethsemane. Notice when they get to the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus goes off to pray, he tells them, pray. When he comes back, did you notice that even though Peter was not the only one there, when Jesus came back, Jesus only spoke to Peter? Look at verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me an hour? Then this is what he says to Peter. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. He was still talking to Peter about the cavity in his soul. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And that's why the problem is not, as a believer, is not in your spirit, it's in the flesh. It's in the influence of your soul, your unrenewed soul, in your flesh. If we don't deal with our cavities, they open doors, like Ephesians 4 verse 27, they open doors for the enemy to attack us. Now, it's not all the people that we see in scripture that revealed cavities that did not deal with their cavities. Let me mention this. How do you discover that there is a cavity? You need to pay attention. Listen, this is very important. You need to pay attention to the thoughts that hit you when something isn't going the way you want it to go. Let me say it again. One of the primary ways you discover a cavity in your soul is by paying attention to the thoughts that try to flood your mind when things are not going the way you want them to go. For example, maybe you've prayed for something to happen. You've prayed, you've believed, you've received, but it is not happening the way you want it to happen. Now, if maybe, for example, a thought like, maybe I didn't pray hard enough, maybe I didn't pray in faith. If that thought begins to hit your mind, do not deny the thought. Don't just say, no. I prayed in faith. No, for that thought to come into your mind, there is a possibility that it is revealing a cavity. Saints, hear what I'm saying. If that thought comes into your mind, for now, maybe the issue is not a major issue. So whether it happens or not, it's an inconvenience, but a minor inconvenience. So it's not a big deal. And so you become tempted to not pay attention to that thought that just came into your mind that said, maybe I did not pray hard enough. Maybe I did not pray in faith. Saints, that thought, maybe I did not pray in faith, means you are battling with the thought that your faith is not. There is no such thing as for the believer saying, maybe I did not pray in faith. Whose faith were you using in the first place? To think that maybe you did not, hear this, to think that maybe you did not pray in faith, which is a major cavity, reveals a few things about your belief systems. One, it reveals that you are not fully persuaded that your faith is the faith of Christ. Two, it also reveals that you are not fully persuaded that the just live by faith. It didn't say that the just use faith. They live by faith. Your life is sustained by faith. If your life is sustained by faith, can you turn that on and off? You can't. It means whatever you do it by faith. It is your nature to operate by faith. It is your nature to declare in faith. It is your nature to pray in faith. You can't do anything else but in faith. That thought, I didn't pray hard enough. That thought, I didn't pray in faith, reveals the fact that you are not yet fully persuaded that your life is actually sustained by faith. that you are not yet fully persuaded that your faith is the faith of Jesus. What we are now supposed to do is, unlike Peter, we settle down and we grind that truth into your soul. Did you hear me? You grind that truth into your soul. Let me mention a few things. Remember the story of the men that were on their way to Emmaus. I think that is in Luke. Is it Luke 24? Jesus had died and resurrected. These men were now on their way to Emmaus. And Jesus accosts them. This is very important. You will notice that they had a cavity in their soul. Even though, let me take you there. Go with me. Let's see if I can quickly find it. Luke, I think it was Luke 24. Let me see if my memory serves me right. Go there. I want to show you what happened. All right, so it's Luke 24. So Jesus appears to these two men, but they did not know it was Jesus. So this was a stranger. And the Bible says in verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? As you walk and you are sad. So what's making you sad? What's going on? And then this is what they begin to say. These were people that walked with Jesus. These were people that lived with Jesus. They traveled with him. This is what they said. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are thou only a stranger? Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Do you not know all the things that have come to pass in the last few days? Listen to them. And he said unto them, what things? So Jesus still act like a stranger. He says, what things? And he said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Look at verse 21. He says, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day and nothing has happened. The minute, you need to see this. So they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus had now died. It was the third day. They had no idea that Jesus had resurrected. And because they had not seen the results they were looking for, it revealed the fact that they were still battling with the thought that he was the Messiah. Look at what Jesus says to them. Because Jesus expected that even though they did not know that he had resurrected, they were still supposed to believe. They were not supposed to have shifted from their convictions. Notice what they said in verse 21. But we believed. Meaning, in the original, it actually says, we actually thought this was the truth. We actually thought this was the case. Their circumstance was now causing them to actually reveal their standpoint. You say, but let's be frank. Their situation warranted that they will begin to wonder if Jesus was actually the Messiah. No, Jesus did not agree with that. Jesus actually said to them in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Do you know Jesus expects, God expects, that no matter what you are going through, you stand your ground in what you have been convicted of. That's why it says, having done all to stand, Ephesians 6, you stand therefore. He expected them to not shift, no matter that when that thought hit their mind, that maybe it's not the Messiah, today is day 3, he has not resurrected. They were supposed to have addressed it, cast it out of their thought. It was not supposed to play footsie in their mind. It revealed a cavity in their soul. It actually did. Let me show you another one, very important one. John the Baptist, I'm almost done. John the Baptist. Do you know John the Baptist was the one that ordained Jesus the ministry? He was the one that told people that this is the one that will baptize you with fire. He was the one that saw was with Jesus when the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. But when John the Baptist was now in prison, facing a crisis, John sent his disciples to Jesus. Listen to what he said to Jesus. He sent his disciples to say to Jesus, "Are you the Messiah, or should we seek another?" John found himself under pressure, and he began to, the cavity in his soul, about that truth that Jesus was the Messiah, was being revealed. You say, no, John believed it was because of the pressure that John was changing his mind. I disagree. I disagree strongly, because even after John knew that Jesus was the Messiah, do you know, this now explains it, that John continued baptizing people. John was the one that told people that Jesus was the Messiah. But instead of joining Jesus, John the Baptist kept on baptizing people alongside Jesus. I always used to wonder, if you know he's the Messiah, one day in Matthew 4, he sees his disciple Jesus walking by. John the Baptist turns to two of his disciples and says to them, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." His own disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, get up and begin to follow Jesus. And from that day, they keep following Jesus. John the Baptist saw all this, but John the Baptist still kept on doing his own thing. Now I understand. Because even though he had declared that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus, he had told people, "I must decrease, he must increase," even though John the Baptist has said all of that, when the test came, and the test came not to prove if he believed, the test came in that regard because he did not fully believe it. Tests in particular areas usually help us discover our cavities, the cavities in our souls that is stopping us from being able to triumph over that test, because tests will come, but they often help you discover the cavity in your soul. Do you know what Jesus said to John when John was going through that? Because John was now in prison. When John was going through that, do you know Jesus told John's disciples, "Go and tell John, blessed is the man who is not offended in me." John the Baptist had taken offense in Jesus, because what he was expecting Jesus to do had not occurred. He did not realize that the reason it had not occurred was because he had not fully stood on the ground that Jesus was the Messiah. When Jesus said, "Blessed is the one who is not offended in me," he was actually saying to John the Baptist, "Tell him, if he will deal with his offense." What is offense? Offense does not mean angry. No, offense is scandalizo. He was saying to John the Baptist, and that's what John would have heard, "John, if you will stop falling into this trap." What was the trap? Where he began to doubt that conviction that Jesus was the Messiah. Saints of God, I'm done. There are so many cavities in this series we'll begin to address. Cavities like God's unconditional love, where when you are going through stuff, that thought that hits your mind, "Does God really love me?" That's a cavity. Don't just gloss over it. You need to confront it, and you need to entrench that conviction that God loves you in your mind. That thought that God is allowing this to happen. If God allowed it to happen, it's because he has something better. If God, look at this cavity that is quite popular. "If God did not allow me get that, it's because God has something better for me." It sounds like a glorious thought. A preacher can go to town on that thought. That the reason why this didn't happen, the reason why you didn't get this from God, is because God has something better. Saints of God, that is a cavity. That is a cavity. You say, "But what if there is something better?" There is something better, but there is always something better in God. But the reason you did not get it is not because God has something better. Do you know that thinking that "I did not get it because God has something better" implies two things. One, that God that said, "No good thing will I withhold from you," he's holding something good from you because he has something better. But that's not what the scripture says. He says, "No good thing will I withhold from you." But what is even worse is that, how do you determine what is better? Because with that thinking, you give room for the devil to begin to keep telling you So you won't get this one too, because there is something better. You also won't get that one, because there is something better. It's a cavity in the soul. The thinking that God allowed evil to happen is a cavity in the soul. The thinking that God's goodness to you is tied to your righteousness. I mean, it's tied to your own righteousness. It's tied to your own holiness is a cavity. You know, when that thought hits you, maybe it's because of that sin that I didn't get this. Do not just gloss over it. It's a revealing of your cavity. Don't be like Peter. Be like the men of Emmaus. When Jesus began to correct them, they didn't say to Jesus, "You are not one of the disciples. You didn't walk with Jesus. Who are you, a stranger, to tell us? We should be telling you what happened." They stopped. They listened to what the stranger was telling them. And they realized, oh my goodness, this is true. They did not act like Peter and keep arguing with Jesus. They listened. They allowed the truth to permeate their hearts. Saints, that's what we are also supposed to do. Before I let you go, I want you to pray this prayer, Ephesians 1. I want you to declare that as we work on these cavities, the eyes of your understanding become enlightened. You are awakened to by the revelation of truth to the cavities that you need to deal with. Pray that prayer. Let that be your prayer today. Open my eyes to the cavities in my soul that I need to deal with. As you deal with cavities, do you know what will happen? Situations that have been just remaining, they've just been dogging you, will begin to change. It will look like, oh, miracle here, miracle there. True, miracles. But it's really because you have closed the cavity. You and I will close the cavities of our souls in the name of Jesus. I declare it so.